Thank you, Noah, leading us in that very uplifting hymn as we raised our voices in praise to our Almighty God. Thank you, Mike, for your prayer, and thank you, Doug, for giving us that scripture reading there from Luke chapter 8, verses 16 through 18. And as Doug mentioned there, we learn about the parable of the revealed light, which was spoken by Jesus to his disciples. And then in verse 18, we see where Jesus then gave the instruction to take heed how you hear. You see, to be simply put, Jesus was telling his disciples to pay attention to the things that he was saying. It's important that we recognize that when one truly takes heed to how they hear, they won't just have their eardrums vibrating. That is simply saying it just won't go in one ear and right out the other. But rather, when one truly takes heed to how they hear, they will pay close attention to the things that are being said, and they will make the proper application of those things in their lives. So knowing that, let's take some time this morning to examine the important topic of hearing, and let's emphasize the importance of taking heed how we hear. But before we get into too much of why it's important to take heed how we hear, I want to first begin this morning by discussing some motives that induce some to hear the Word of God. You see, there are a variety of motives that induce some to come together to hear God's Word. One of those motives that I suggest to you that induce some or motivate some to hear the Word of God is simply an admiration for the speaker. How many times have you heard someone say that? Oh, so-and-so speaking. I wouldn't miss that for anything. You ever hear that? You see, I've even heard some brethren say that they would walk 10 miles uphill in 2 feet of snow to hear so-and-so speak. But on the flip side of that coin, I've heard some say, I wouldn't walk across the street to hear so-and-so speak. Unfortunately, there are some who are motivated to hear the Word of God simply because they have an admiration for the speaker. We learn about an example of this found there in Acts 8 chapter. Open up your Bibles with me, if you will, there to Acts chapter 8. And here in Acts chapter 8, we learn about the people of Samaria. And guess what motivated them to hear? Come and hear someone. Notice here in Acts chapter 8, beginning in verse 9. But there was a certain man called Simon who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great. Now watch verse 10, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And they heeded him. Why? Because he had astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. Here's an example in Acts 8 with those Samaritans. Some of those Samaritans, they had a great admiration for Simon the sorcerer, because Simon had astonished them with his sorceries. And because of that, they took heed to him. The same is today with men who stand in the pulpit and proclaim the gospel. There are some who put more emphasis on the man rather than the Word of God. And I'm here to tell you, my friends, that that should never be. You see, the power is not in the man. The power is not in the preacher. But rather, the power is in the Word of God. And we need to be mindful of the fact that the preacher's job is not to entertain or to tickle ears. But the preacher's job is to preach the Word of God. And if you're looking to get entertained, you need to go to the picture show. Because the preacher, he's not to entertain and to tickle ears. But he is to proclaim God's Word. Because the power is in the Word of God and not in the man. We have for us a reminder of that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Follow me, if you will, in your Bibles there to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul made this point to those saints in Corinth, beginning there in verse 1. And there Paul said, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but where, Paul? In the power of God. Hold on to those words of the inspired apostle, my beloved brother. Don't put your faith in men, but rather put it in God's word. Recognizing that the power is not in any man, but the power is in the word of God. Remember that. And always be mindful of the fact that it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Psalm 118 and verse 8. But another example that I suggest to us that induce some to hear the word of God is a desire to trap the speaker. I venture to say that you probably know of some who become jealous of a preacher or of a one who stands before them and teaches the word of God, and jealous for perhaps various reasons, jealous of their abilities, or jealous maybe because they get some attention and they don't, or jealous because they may have more knowledge than what you may have. And because of that, some are motivated with a desire to catch that person in a mistake. They're motivated with a desire to entrap the speaker. Again, we have an example of some of the rulers in Jesus' day who had that desire, right? We learn about the rulers in Jesus' day who had a desire to entrap Jesus in the things that he said there in Mark chapter 12 and verse 13. And there it's recorded, then they, that being the rulers, sent to him, that being Jesus, some of the Pharisees and the Herodians. Why? To catch him in his words. They were motivated with a desire to catch Jesus in his words. Again, we need to be aware of that, right? We need to be aware of listening and hearing God's word with the intent to entrap or catch someone in their words. And if we do that, shame on us. Because when we do that, when we focus attention more upon trying to entrap or catch someone in their words, we're losing sight of the big picture, aren't we? We're losing sight of the message that's being proclaimed from God's word. And because of that, it'll do us no benefit. So those are two things we need to be mindful of. We need to be aware of. Being motivated to hear God's word because of admiration for a speaker or because of a desire to entrap a speaker. But here's another thing that induces some to hear. Curiosity. Curiosity induces some to hear. Simply put, a desire to hear or learn something new motivates some to hear the word of God. When I think about that, I can't help but to think about the Athenians, as we have recorded for us there in Acts chapter 17. Go with me, if you will, in your Bibles there to Acts chapter 17. And notice these recorded words beginning there in verse number 19. There it's recorded, and they took him, that being Paul, and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, may we know what is this new doctrine is of which you speak? For you are bringing some strange things to our ears. Therefore, we want to know what these things mean. Now watch verse 21. For all the Athenians and the foreigners who were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear something new. You see, there are some today who likewise are motivated out of curiosity to hear something new, to come and hear the word of God proclaimed. Sometimes that can be a good thing, but sometimes that can be a bad thing. But one of the things that motivates some to hear God's word is curiosity. Another thing that motivates some to hear the word of God is personal gain. When I think about that, I think about our denominational friends who offer coffee and donuts when you come into their places of assembly. And when you come in there, they'll draw you in with coffee and donuts. And I've heard some say, well, I just go there because they offer coffee and donuts. They go there because it's something, a personal gain for them. They can benefit from that. And unfortunately, there are some who are motivated by a desire to hear the Word of God simply because of personal gain. What they can maybe gain personally from that. We have an example of that with Felix, the governor Felix there in Acts 24. Turn there with me, if you will, to your Bibles in Acts 24. And here in Acts 24, beginning there in verse 24, we learn about Paul preaching to Felix. And here it says in verse 24, "And after some days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Now as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and answered, 'Go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you.'" Now watch verse 26. "Meanwhile, he also hoped that money would be given to him by Paul, that he might release him. Therefore, he sent him more often and conversed with him." Here's an example of what motivated Felix to send and hear more about Christ. A desire for personal gain. Again, that's a no-no. We should not be motivated by a desire for personal gain to hear the Word of God as Felix was. But rather, this is what should motivate us to hear the Word of God. Just as it motivated some in the first century. A love for the truth. I'm convinced that many of you are here this very hour based because of your desire for the love for the truth. I'm convinced of that. I hope that is the reason why you are here this hour. Because of your love for the truth. When I think about those who possessed a love for the truth, when I think about those who received the Word of God, not as the Word of man, but rather as it is the Word of God, I can't help but to think about those saints in Thessalonica as we read about there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And notice what Paul wrote about these saints in Thessalonica there in 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13. Paul said, "For this reason we also thank God without ceasing." Why, Paul? Well, notice. "Because when you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe." Hold on to those words. And may this be what motivates each and every one of us to hear the Word of God. Our desire for truth. Our love for truth. May that be what motivates us to hear God's Word. So now that we've looked at some examples in regard to that which motivates some to hear the Word of God, let's take some time to talk about how one should hear the Word of God. And first and foremost, as we've already talked about in our hearing this morning, we need to take heed how we hear the Word of God. As we talked about there in Luke chapter 8 and verse 18, when Jesus gave this instruction to his disciples to take heed how you hear, he was simply telling them, pay attention. Have regard for the things that I am saying. Listen closely. And we need to be mindful of the need to take heed how we hear. We need to pay attention. We need to listen closely. We need to have regard for the things that we are hearing. But we also need to receptively hear God's Word. That word receptively simply denotes a willingness to consider and accept what is being said. We need to have that willingness to consider what is being said. And if we find out that the things that are being said are in line with God's Word, we need to accept them. When I think about that, I think about the noble Bereans of old, as we read about there in Acts chapter 17. Turn with me in your Bibles, if you will, there to Acts chapter 17. And beginning there in verse 11, Paul said this about those Bereans. "These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica." Why, Paul? "And that they received the word." How? "With all readiness, and searched the scriptures daily, rather to find out whether these things were so." We need to be like those Bereans of old. We need to receive the Word of God with all readiness. We need to search the Scriptures, just as these Bereans did, to make sure that the things that the preacher is saying is so. Don't just take my word for it. Don't just take anybody's word who stands before you for the things that they are saying. But rather, demonstrate the example of these Bereans. Open up God's word. Search the scriptures. Follow along with God's word. Make sure that the things that man is saying is in line with the scripture. Make sure that the things that he is saying is so. And as we talked about, consider those things. And if you find out that the things that is being said is so, accept them and apply them to your life. Another thing that we need to do in regard to how we hear is we need to attentively hear God's word. You see, that word attentively, again, simply denotes to pay close attention to. And when God's word is being proclaimed, we need to have attentive ears. We need to pay close attention to God's word when it is being proclaimed. When I think about those who have had attentive ears, I can't help but to think about God's people of old, as we read about there in Nehemiah chapter 8. And there in Nehemiah chapter 8, beginning in verse 1, it is recorded, "Now all the people gathered together as one man in the open square that was in front of the water gate, and they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men and women and all who could hear with understanding on the first day of the seventh month." Now watch verse 3. "Then he read from it in the open square that was in the front of the water gate from morning until midday before the men and the women and those who could understand." Now watch this. "And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law." I like that. Put that into practice. Notice what was said about God's people of old when God's word was being read. What were they doing? Were they sitting? Were they conversing back and forth to one another? Were they getting up and coming in and going out? Is that what they were doing? It's not what they were doing, were they? But rather, they had attentive ears. That's important, isn't it? That's important. We need to take note of that today, my beloved brethren. When the word of God is being proclaimed, pay attention. Don't be sitting there next to one another, conversing back and forth, whispering or talking with those that you're sitting next to. Don't be getting in and coming out. But pay close attention to the word of God that's being proclaimed. And let it be known that it's disrespectful not to be attentive when God's word is proclaimed. Not only to the preacher, not only to those that are around you, but more importantly, to the word of God. When God's word is not given the proper attention, disrespect for the word of God is shown. Be mindful of that. And let us be a people who are like God's people of old, who have attentive ears. But another way in which we should hear the word of God is we should discerningly hear the word of God. That word discerningly simply means to be able to distinguish the truth from error. That's important. Again, going back to that example of those noble Bereans that we talked about a few moments ago there from Acts chapter 17 and verse 11. There's an example of a people who discerningly heard the word of God. Again, they didn't just take Paul and Silas for their word for it, but rather they searched the scripture to be able to distinguish truth from error, to make sure that the things that Paul and Silas was preaching and saying to them were so. And that should be the attitude of each and every one of us anytime God's word is proclaimed. We need to hear discerningly. We need to pay attention. We need to search to make sure that the truth is being taught rather than error. But another thing that we need to be mindful of in regard to how we should hear the word of God is we should eagerly hear God's word. That word eager simply denotes a strong desire for something. And when I think about those that were eager to hear God's word, I think about the multitude that is spoken of there in Luke chapter 5 and verse 1. And there in Luke chapter 5 and verse 1, it is said that the multitude passed about him, that being Jesus. Why? To hear the word of God. Think about that. We think about how this multitude was pressed about him, pressed about Jesus. How they all came in and were pressed around him for the purpose to hear God's word. That simply denotes an eagerness to hear God's word. Another example of those that were eager to hear God's word can be found there in Acts chapter 10 and verse 33. Again, as good Bible students, we recognize the context here in Acts chapter 10 and how Peter was sent to Cornelius and his household to preach the gospel, right? But it's recorded there in Acts chapter 10 and verse 33 where Cornelius said these words to Peter. He said, "So I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now, therefore, we are all present before God." Why? To hear all the things commanded by God. Again, that certainly denotes an eagerness to hear God's word. And just as Cornelius and his household had that strong desire to hear the command of God, to hear God's word proclaimed, that desire should resonate in each and every one of us. We too need to eagerly hear God's word. Something we should look forward to, right? Something we should look forward to and we should have a desire for. But another thing I suggest in regard to how we should hear the word of God is we should candidly hear the word of God. It's important to note that that word candidly there simply denotes to have an honest and straight, in a honest and straightforward way. When we candidly hear something, we're going to do so in an honest and in a straightforward way. Unfortunately, there are some today who are like those Pharisees of old. They have that holier-than-thou art Pharisee mentality. They think that when God's word is being proclaimed or when something's being said that, oh, that doesn't apply to me. That doesn't apply to me. That's not for me. That's for that other guy. But we need to be mindful of the fact that when God's word is proclaimed, we all need to take it and apply it to our life. And we need to receive it. And if we recognize that there are some things that have been said that we need to make some correction of, we need to make those proper changes, don't we? We must not be one who does not receive the word of God in an honest and straightforward way, like some of those scribes and Pharisees were guilty of in the first century. But rather, we need to be one who does receive God's word in an honest and straightforward way. We have for us there in Matthew chapter 13 what is commonly referred to as the parable of the sower. And there, in regard to the parable of the sower, Jesus, he talks about the seed which fell on different types of soils. That seed that fell on these different types of soils, those soils represented different hearts. And we see here, in regard to the seed that fell on good ground, what happened there in verse 8? It yielded a crop some hundredfold, some 60, some 30. But watch verse 9. What did he say? He who has ears to hear, let him do what? Hear. Let him hear. We go on to see, as Jesus was giving a reason for the purpose of these parables, dropping down there to verse 15 of Matthew 13, we learn about some of those whose hearts have grown dull. Their ears, what did Jesus say? Are hard of hearing. And their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. Unfortunately, those who fail to candidly hear the word of God, those who have their ears hard of hearing, their hearts that have grown dull, they are going to be one in which they're not going to be fruitful. Because we go on to see there in verse 23, "But he who received the seed on the good ground is he who," what? "Hears the word of God and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Hold on to that. Don't be one whose heart is dull and whose ears are hard of hearing, but rather be one who receives the Word of God with an honest and straightforward way. So now that we've talked about how we should hear the Word of God, let's bring this lesson home by looking at some examples in regard to some results of hearing God's Word aright. And first and foremost, when one hears God's Word aright, it will produce faith. You see, Paul made us aware of this there in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. And there in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, Paul says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." To be simply put, the source of faith is through the hearing of God's Word. And when one takes heed to how they hear, the result of that is it will produce faith. But another thing in regard to hearing God's Word aright is the fact that it will increase understanding. Are you aware of that? You see, when you take heed to God's Word, it will increase your understanding of God's will. When I think about that, I think about the words of the psalmist found there in Psalm 119, 104. And there the psalmist in regard to God's Word said, "Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way." You see, it's important that we all have an understanding of God's will. That's important. Paul emphasized the importance of this there in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 17. And there Paul simply said, "Do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." That's important. It's important that we are not a people who are unwise, but rather a people who have an understanding of God's will, knowing that God's will can be understood. How? Through His Word. And failure to understand God's Word, what's going to be the repercussions of that? We learn about that of God's people of old there in Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. What happened to them? They were destroyed, weren't they? Why? Because of a lack of knowledge. That's serious, isn't it? We need to be mindful of that. And we need to understand that hearing God's Word aright will increase a greater measurement of understanding. But another result of hearing God's Word aright is it will convict. Again, as we talked about earlier, God's Word is powerful. It's powerful. And when one takes heed to the things that is being said from God's Word, when they hear that aright, it will convict. We have an example of this with those Jews there on the day of Pentecost, as we read about in Acts chapter 2. And as Peter and the apostles were preaching Christ Jesus to those Jews on the day of Pentecost, something happened, didn't it? What happened? God's Word convicted them. That's what happened. We learn about that in Acts chapter 2 and verse 37 when it says, "And they were cut to the heart." And because of that, they asked that all-important question, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Why did they ask that question? Because they were convicted because of God's Word. You see, as we've mentioned, God's Word, it is powerful. The Hebrews writer tells us this there in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 when he says, "For the Word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." Did you catch that? God's Word is living and powerful. And you want to know something? God's Word is just as alive and powerful this very day as it was when the Hebrew writer penned those words. Still this day, God's Word is living and powerful. And it is sharp, even able to pierce the division of the soul and spirit and joints of marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. It is still able to convict those upon whom that seed falls upon a good and honest heart. And when it does, it will convict. But another thing that in regard to the result of hearing God's word aright is it will cleanse the heart. Did you know that? Did you know that when you hear God's word aright that it will cleanse the heart? You see, the psalmist made us aware of that there in Psalm 119, verse 9. And there the psalmist asked a good question. He asked, how can a young man cleanse his way? The answer, notice, by taking heed according to your word. To be simply put, one can cleanse their way when they take heed to the word of God. That's serious, isn't it? Very serious. And we need to understand that when we take heed to how we hear, the result of that will lead to the cleansing of the heart. But another result of hearing God's word aright is it will bring joy. Are you aware of that? Are you aware of the fact that when you hear God's word aright that it will bring joy? It'll fill you with joy. You see, we can learn about this there in John the 15th chapter. Follow me if you will in your Bibles there to John chapter 15. And here in John chapter 15, notice these words of Jesus beginning there in verse number 9. There Jesus said, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Now watch verse 11. Jesus said to his chosen disciples, these things I have spoken to you. Why, Jesus? That my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Did you catch that? Jesus said, I spoke these things to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. When I think about hearing the word of God aright and how that can bring joy, I can't help but to think about the Ethiopian eunuch as we see there in Acts chapter 8. Follow me if you will there in your Bibles to Acts the 8th chapter. And here in Acts chapter 8 we have recorded for us how Philip preached Jesus to the Ethiopian eunuch. And here in Acts chapter 8, picking up in verse 35, it says, then Philip opened his mouth and began at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Verse 38. So he commanded the chariot to stand still. And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water and he baptized him. Now watch verse 39. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away so that the eunuch saw him no more. And what was the result? What did the eunuch do? And he went on his way rejoicing. You see that? Here's an example where the Christ was preached and it was received. And the result, it brought joy. The eunuch went on his way rejoicing. And when we take heed to hearing God's word, it will result in bringing joy. But another benefit of hearing God's word aright is it will build you up. You see, Paul made this very clear to us there in Acts chapter 20 and verse 32. And there in the context of Acts chapter 20, Paul is addressing those elders in Ephesus. And this is what he said. He said, so now, brethren, I command you to God and to the word of his grace, now watch this, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. There's another result of hearing God's word aright. When we take heed to God's word and we hear it aright, it will build us up. And as Paul said, it will give us an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. You see the benefit in that? You certainly do, don't you? But another thing I suggest to us in regard to the result of hearing God's word aright is it will make the hearer like a tree planted by the waters. To better understand this, I take us to Psalm 1. And here in Psalm 1, beginning in verse 1. The psalmist said, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight, where is it? Is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night." Now watch verse 3. "He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." Think about that. You see, this description depicts the happiness and the prosperity of a man who avoids the way of wickedness, but rather delights and follows in the Word of God. To be simply put, when we take heed to how we hear, the result of it is it will make us like a tree planted by the waters. We will flourish. We will flourish. Hold on to that, my beloved brethren, and may we be a people who take heed to how we hear. I now ask, are you taking heed to how you hear? Are you? Be honest. You see, our eternal destiny depends upon that. And we need to understand the importance of taking heed to how we hear. Maybe there is one here this morning who has not yet submitted themselves in obedience to the Lord and His will. If you paid attention to the things that you've heard today, you have the opportunity to submit yourself in obedience to the Lord and His will. For if you, like that Ethiopian eunuch that we talked about a few moments ago from Acts chapter 8, likewise believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, you can repent of your sins. You can confess Jesus Christ before men. And you, just like that Ethiopian eunuch, can likewise be baptized this very hour for the remission of your sins. You too can be raised up out of that watery grave to walk in the newness of life. And you can walk out these doors this morning, a child of God. Maybe there's one here this morning who has already submitted their life in obedience to the Lord and His will, but you've not been faithful. Maybe you've strayed from that straight and narrow path that leads to life. You're encouraged to pray to God and ask Him for His forgiveness and to get back on that straight and narrow path that leads to God this very hour. So if there would be one here this morning who'd be subject to the Lord's gracious invitation, whatever your name may be, won't you trust and obey now while we stand and sing the song that was selected?